The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nathan Cones at Carroll Broadcasting and Aaron Summers at the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Nathan, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Hey, thanks, Senator Grassley, for having us on. I just wanted to kind of take a look at a comment that President Biden made several days ago. Saying we were the closest we've been to, I think, nuclear Armageddon was the wording that he used since the Cuban missile crisis. I just wanted your thoughts on that claim from the president and its relation to the nation's current foreign policy stance.
It hasn't been backed up by any intelligence, defense, or State Department concern. So if the president feels that himself, I think we should have had it backed up. And so I think maybe it's a case of his going to, like what he said several times about Taiwan, and it hasn't changed. Our policy hasn't changed, we're told. And I just wonder if he isn't speaking a little loosely. Let's go to the next person.
Thank you, Senator. Just to follow up on that, are there any other actions you think that the U.S. should be taking to support and back up Ukraine as the situation continues there?
Yeah, I think we need a more air defense. They're getting bombarded by the Ukrainian drones that China or that Russia bought, and these airstrikes are really hurting the civilian population, and I think just as soon as we can get them pick them out of the sky would be the best thing that we could do. That's under consideration, but we haven't moved fast enough, and when we do move, it's awful slow. Back to Carol.
I just want to stick with that topic there. So war obviously is a congressional declaration. There's no signs over there that this conflict's going to be easing off at all from really either side on this one. At what point would you personally support at least sending American soldiers over there?
The only point I would be involved in that would be if Article 5 of the NATO Treaty is invoked, and that's when any one of the members of NATO are hit. The other countries go immediately to their defense, and that would include the United States. It's ironic that the only time that Article 5 has been invoked was on 9/11 when the United States was attacked. And NATO came to our defense. They didn't have to do anything, but it shows that it works for the United States as well as the United States helping to defend Europe. Back to Pocahontas.
Thank you. In the debate, I think this past weekend, you had been asked a question about whether or not you would vote for Senator Graham's abortion ban, and you had said no. Can you talk about some of your specific concerns about that ban or why you would vote no on that?
Yeah, it's entirely a process question. First of all,
okay.
I'll answer your question, but I want everybody to know, first of all, that I've been pro-life all my life, pro-mother, pro-family. And at the time that I don't know that I sponsored, but at least I was in favor of such a bill when Graham put it in, when it was a federal issue, because the Supreme Court for 50 years has said, this is an entirely a federal issue, not a state issue. So now the court has ruled that elected representatives of the people ought to make a decision instead of unelected judges. They've turned it back to the states, and I want the states to continue to make that decision. Now that after 50 years, hoping it will go back to the states, it's back to the states. Okay, back to Carol.
Kind of on that same vein there, Senator, I wanted to touch a bit on the Healthy Moms and Babies Act that you proposed here very recently in the Senate. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the reasoning behind that bill and a little bit more on the specifics on the aid and funding that it would provide if it were to be passed into law?
Well, I've been involved in trying to prevent stillbirths on legislation as one predecessor to this bill. Another predecessor to this bill was maternal and infant and child visitor program that's been very helpful, particularly in rural areas. And so this Healthy Moms and Babies bill would try to get at the fact that 80% of the deaths in pregnancy could be prevented, and then it seems to be that the highest loss of life in those instances come from mothers of color or in rural areas. So the bill that you're asking me about is meant to beef up the programs in rural areas and to help mothers of color to prevent premature births or premature deaths. 80% of them are preventable. I think I said that now twice. And particularly, we've lost in the last 10 years 20 clinics in rural America or even in Iowa that would make the problem even worse. And this is going to bring together a community effort of coordination to help this issue. Back to Pocahontas.
Thank you. What steps did the U.S. be taking in response to OPEC's announcement last week about oil prices with Russia, with regards to Russia?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to give you a 10-minute answer, but I'll have a shorter one. First of all, remember, when this president took office, we were energy independent. Now we're energy dependent. We have to import more. And so the president goes to Saudi Arabia a couple months ago to ask them to import more to us, export more to us, and now they've done just the opposite. They cut back 2 million barrels. So that's why I'm going to offer my amendment that is called NOPEC, N-O-P-E-C. It's an N in front of OPEC, and it's an antitrust law giving, making sure that the Justice Department will sue under the antitrust laws. This monopoly that we call OPEC, and I'm going to offer it as an amendment to the defense bill when we get back on November the 14th. So the best thing to do would be for this president to reverse these policies of not drilling and shutting down pipelines and putting regulations on fracking and tell the banks not to loan to energy companies. That's why we have an energy crisis. That's why the price is going up, and OPEC just makes it worse. Back to Carol.
Yeah, thanks, Senator. The U.S. Supreme Court, I believe, is scheduled to hear arguments today on the California animal cruelty bill regarding the sale of pork in the state. Traditionally, interstate commerce has kind of always fallen under the purview of the federal government. I just wanted your thoughts on that case, if you're familiar with it, and the implications if states are able to begin regulating commerce between each other if that precedent was overturned.
You know, California has to import 99 9/10% of their pork. In other words, 1/10 of 1% of what they eat is made in California. So they want to force their raising of hogs on all the other 99 states. I think the Supreme Court will rule it unconstitutional under the fact that a state can't impede interstate commerce. Pocahontas, you'll be the last question.
Thank you. What would you say is your top legislative priority for the last 3 months of 2022?
Three bills. One, the cattle bill. Number two, the bill to reduce drug prices by putting a cap at no more than the CPI on a year-over-year increase in drugs. And third, a bill that would tackle Amazon, Google, other big platforms, their economic discrimination against small business that uses their platforms, because these big platforms always prioritize their own products over the small businesses. And those are all bipartisan bills. Thank you both very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Nathan and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.